Have your Bibles this morning, I would like to ask you to please turn to Genesis chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27. The Word of God here tells us about Isaac as he was getting very old and he couldn't see, and it tells us about him beginning to bless his two sons, Jacob and Esau. The subject that's on my heart this morning is the subject of lying. And I pray that God will help every one of us this morning to think about the importance of telling the truth and about the seriousness of telling a lie. We tell lies sometimes when we tell people we're going to do something and then we don't do it. That's a lie. Unless we're providentially hindered. Sometimes we say that we're not going to do something and then we go ahead and do it. Well, that's a lie unless we're providentially hindered. So it's important that we understand the seriousness of lying, and I pray that God will help us as we read and study the Word of God that we will know that lying is an extremely serious matter. Genesis chapter 27, I want to begin reading, and I want to read quite a number of scriptures. I encourage you to go home and read the entire chapter so you can see everything that's here, but I'm going to read quite a few scriptures from Genesis chapter 27, beginning with the first verse. Now, I want you to understand, what was Isaac's wife's name? Do all of you remember Isaac's wife's name? Rebekah. Abraham's wife's name was Sarah. Isaac's wife's name was Rebekah. And their two sons' names were Jacob and Esau. Now, Isaac, as he's getting old, he's going to bless his two sons. And there was one son that Isaac loved the most, and there was one son that Rebekah loved the most. Rebekah loved Jacob the most. And Isaac loved Esau the most. Esau was a hunter. He was a very hairy man. And he hunted deer, among other things. And his father especially liked deer meat, venison. And I'm going to begin reading now in chapter 27 of Genesis, the first verse. The Word of God says, "And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau, his eldest son, and said unto him, My son, and he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold, now I am old, and know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take me some venison. And make me a savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. And Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. And Rebekah spake unto Jacob her son, saying," remember now, this is not the son that just went deer hunting. This is the other son. This is her favorite son. "So Rebekah spake to Jacob her son, saying, Behold, I heard thy father speak unto Esau thy brother, saying, Bring me venison and make me savory meat, that I may eat and bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death." Now, it was customary, it was common, for a father to bless his firstborn son, and to bestow upon him a double blessing, and many other blessings that the father would bless that son with. And that's what Isaac is telling Esau that he's going to do, but what Rebekah and Jacob are going to do is try to get the blessing on Jacob instead of on Esau. So what does Rebecca say she'll do? She tells Jacob, now you go get two kids, you go get two goats, and you bring them to me, and I'll cook them just like I cook that venison. I'll cook it, and he won't be able to tell the difference, and he'll think that you're Esau and that you've brought the venison, and what we'll do is just lie to your daddy, and we'll trick your daddy. We'll deceive your daddy, and you'll get the blessing instead of Esau. I want you to listen to what verses 11 and 12 says. Verse 11 says, "And Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man, and I am a smooth man." Now remember, Isaac was what? What was his problem? He was old, but he was what? He was blind. So what do you think Isaac often did when his son, when his sons came up to him? Jacob was a smooth man, so Isaac would feel the back of the neck and the hands and the arms of Esau, and it was real hairy, he would know it was Esau, and if it was smooth, he would know that it was Jacob. So he says, "What are we going to do, Mama? Daddy might know, he might feel of me and know that it's me." He says in verse 12, "My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall seem to him as a deceiver." I want you to notice how he worded that. I'm going to seem like a deceiver. Now, he's not really a deceiver, is he? Oh, he's really a deceiver, but he doesn't want to just come out and admit that I'm a deceiver. He says, "I'm going to seem to him as a deceiver because I'm going to go and pretend like that I'm Esau, and in fact, I'm Jacob, and I'm trying to steal the firstborn's blessings." So he says, "I shall seem to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me and not a blessing." And his mother said unto him, this is verse 13, "And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse and my son, only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And he went and fetched and brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat such as his father loved. And Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and put them on Jacob, her younger son." Now listen carefully to verse 16. "And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands and upon the smooth of his neck." What's she doing right there? She's helping to doctor him up to deceive Isaac and to make Isaac think that this who is Jacob is really Esau. Verse 17, "And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. And he came unto his father and said, My father. And he said, Here am I. Who art thou, my son? And Jacob said unto his father," he's just seeming like a deceiver now. You remember he said, "It may seem like I'm a deceiver." Have any of you ever lied but you didn't want to admit that you were a liar? And tried to twist it. And tried to make it say, "Well, I didn't really lie. I just changed things a little bit." Or sometimes we'll say, "Well, it was just a..." That's good, Brother Garnell. A little lie. Sometimes we'll say it was just a little lie. And sometimes we'll lie even more and say it's a little, we'll add one more adjective to try to make it clean. We'll say it's a little, what's one other word we'll use? A little white lie. Not a black lie. Not a big lie. It's always going to be just a little white lie. Let me tell you something, brethren. There's no such thing as a little lie. I had a man while I was out in Mississippi. He buys and sells motorcycles and cars and trucks and he does a lot of, he buys real nice stuff and he resells it and makes a lot of money. But every time somebody comes to buy one of those motorcycles, he talks about how long he's had it, that he bought it new, and tells all kinds of lies. And his wife was talking to him at the supper table one night while I was there in Mississippi, and she said, "Brother Mullis, I want you to talk to my husband about lying. He's a bold-faced liar." Now, that's a terrible thing for a wife to tell the preacher, isn't it? He's a bold-faced liar. And he, you know what he said? His response was? He said, "Brother Mullis, don't you think the Lord overlooks when you're selling stuff? Don't you think the Lord overlooks the lies when you're selling motorcycles and cars and things like that, that's not really lying when you stretch the truth a little bit. Well, it is lying. It doesn't matter what we're talking about. It doesn't matter what we're saying. Brethren, we need to understand that we must speak the truth, that it's a serious thing to lie. And we're going to look at that as we go further along. It is an extremely serious thing to lie. I just don't think, you know, the Corinthian letter says, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren. And I think that maybe we're ignorant as to how serious it is to lie. And we need to pray. Every one of us needs to pray, God, help me to never lie again. The Ephesian letter says, put away lying. The Word of God says that we need to speak the truth and lie not. The Word of God says, thou shalt not lie one to another. Now, sometimes people say, well, that's not part of the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments are in Exodus chapter 20, and one of the Ten Commandments is, thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, bearing false witness is lying. And in Exodus 19, just before he gives the Ten Commandments, he says, thou shalt not lie. So it is a commandment from God not to lie. And the seriousness of the commandment will be seen, Lord willing, if God will help us. The seriousness of lying will be seen as we go along. Did Jacob lie? His daddy said, who are you? And what did he say? I am Esau. He says in verse 20, and Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly? That is, how did you find the venison so quickly? You know, you went out, boom, he killed the deer, boom, he's back, and he's already cooked the deer. He says, here's what he said. How have you found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now, isn't that amazing how he could lie? How he could even talk about God while he was lying? I've had people lie to me and tell me, I swear to God I'm telling you the truth. And I knew they were lying. I've had people put their hand on a Bible and say, Brother Billy, I swear to God I'm putting my hand on this Bible. I'll look you eyeball to eyeball and I'm telling you I have not done what you're accusing me of doing. And then I had proof all along they were guilty of what they were saying. Will people lie? Will people lie? Is it serious to lie? We look at Jacob right here, and we think about him lying, and we think about what a horrible thing for Jacob to lie to his daddy like this. But sometimes, brethren, we don't recognize and realize that the sin of lying, you remember what Nathan said to David when Nathan described the situation, and David said, the man that does such a thing as that ought to be put to death. And Nathan said, thou art the man. You're the man. You're the man. And I would venture to say that there are some liars in this congregation today. And I would venture to say that all of us may have a problem with telling some lies. And we'd better correct it. We'd better realize the seriousness of it. He says, the Lord God brought it to me. Verse 21 says, and Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son. Now, wasn't Jacob pretty intuitive to know what his daddy was going to do? He's going to feel of him. So the daddy says, come near, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Think about that. How do you think Jacob felt right there? The voice sounds just like Jacob. The hands feel like Esau. Verse 22 says, after he talks about the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. Verse 23 says, and he discerned him not. That is, Isaac did not discern or recognize or was not sure that this was Jacob instead of Esau. And because his hands were hairy and his brother's Esau's hands, So he blessed him. That is, he bestowed the great blessing that was supposed to go to Esau, his firstborn. He bestowed the great blessing, the great tremendous blessing, went to Jacob, Esau's brother. He stole the birthright. Verse 23 says, and he said, art thou my very son Isaac? And he said, I am. How many times has he lied? You go back and study it. He's lied several times in this passage of Scripture. He's lied, he's lied, he's lied. Verse 25 says, and he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat my son's venison, that my soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and he smelled the smell of his raiment. Remember, what clothing did he have on? Whose clothing does he have on? He has Esau's. That mama was a wicked mama. Did you know that? And blessed him and said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord hath blessed. Therefore God give thee of the dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn of wine. Let people serve thee and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord, listen carefully to what he's saying now. Be Lord over thy brethren. Now what blessing is Isaac bestowing upon Jacob? He says, you're going to be Lord over who? Your brethren. Esau is the primary one that we want to think about. You're going to be Lord over your brother. What did Isaac think he was saying? He thought he was saying to Esau, the firstborn, you're getting the birthright, and you shall be the Lord over Jacob. But he had been deceived. He had been lied to. Verse 29 says, let the people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curseth thee, and blessed be he that blesseth thee. I'm not going to go further and read that, but I just want you to see that Jacob was a liar. Jacob lied to his own daddy. Now, I want you to think about this. Not only the trouble that's going to come in Jacob's life because he lied to his daddy. Was God going to judge Jacob because of his lies? Did God judge Rebekah because of all the lying and the deceiving that they did? Do you know where all lies come from? Every lie that you have ever told, you know who the father of lies is? You know who the instigator is of lies? It's the devil. Jesus makes that statement in John 8, verse 44. He says that your father, the devil, is a murderer and a liar. And he's the father of lies. That's what the devil is. The devil's a liar and a murderer. What's the first lie that you remember the devil ever told? The first lie that you remember that's recorded in the Word of God. The first lie that the devil ever told. Do you remember? Okay. You remember how God had told Adam and Eve? He told them, I'm putting you in the Garden of Eden. You can eat of every tree in the garden except the knowledge of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so then the devil, who was very subtle, and subtle usually is connected with lying, by the way, and the devil, who was very subtle, came to Eve and said, hath God said that you will surely die? He says, thou shalt not surely die. Now that was direct opposition to what God said, wasn't it? The devil lied to Eve, and then Eve partook of the fruit. God came, and that was Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 4, you have Cain and Esau. And after Cain slew his brother, Cain and Abel. After Cain slew his brother, you remember how God came to Saint Cain and said, where is your brother? He says, I don't know where he is. He lied to God. Have you ever lied to God? Is it serious to lie? Let me ask you this. Do you remember that the Bible says, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap? Now in Genesis chapter 27, we read about Jacob deceiving his daddy. We read about Jacob lying to his daddy. Now, if you'll turn to Genesis chapter 37, please look at this in your Bibles. In Genesis chapter 37, We're going forward in time now, and Jacob is an older man, and Jacob has 12 sons. Just like his daddy had some sons, now Jacob has 12 sons. Now what did Jacob do to his daddy? He lied to his daddy, and he deceived his daddy, and his daddy mourned, and his daddy grieved as a result of the bad things that happened because of Jacob's lying. Now, what do you think is going to happen to Jacob and his sons? Now, you might laugh at that, but I want you to think about this. You go ahead and lie if you want to, but be sure your sins will find you out. You may lie to your father, you may lie to your mother, you may lie to your wife, you may lie to your children, you may lie to anybody you want to, but be sure your sin will find you out. Because God is watching, and God will bring everything you say into judgment. Listen carefully. Jesus tells us that in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. He says that Jesus will bring every idle word into judgment. And by our mouth we shall be condemned, or by our mouth we shall be justified. You lie, you're going to have to give account of that. You sin willfully by lying, you're going to have to give account to God for that. Do you have to lie to God for it to be a serious matter, or can you lie to one another and it be a serious matter? It's a serious matter. Now, Jacob's a grown man now in Genesis chapter 37. I want you to come down to verse 31. I want you to see how he's going to reap what he sowed. And did you know that for at least 20 years now, Jacob is going to mourn. And here's another major sin that was in this family. It's in a lot of families. Was there a problem back there with Jacob and Esau as far as their parents was concerned? Did the parents have a problem? One of the problems the parents had was that Rebekah showed partiality, didn't she? Who did Rebekah love the most? She loved Jacob. Who did Isaac love the most? He loved Esau. Is it a serious matter for any of you parents to show partiality to your children? You will suffer if you show partiality to your children. Your children will suffer, but you will suffer too if you show partiality to your children. God will judge you for showing partiality to your children. You will suffer much grief in your life if you show partiality. Is it hard sometimes? Is it hard not to show partiality? Is it sometimes difficult? I'll just be honest with you. I was quicker to get the belt with my son than I was my daughter's. I was just thinking about that. Is it harder for you to spank Olivia than it is to spank the boys, Marty? No? Okay. Well, some of us daddies, and listen, it's wrong. It's wrong. Sometimes we show partiality. And I just want to warn you, don't do it. And if you're doing it, I beg you to pray for grace to stop showing partiality among your children. And if there's any of your children that you are not manifesting tremendous amount of love for, I beg you to just concentrate on showing that child a lot of love. And sometimes parents show the baby child a lot of preferential treatment. Have you ever noticed that? A person can have three or four children, and the baby child just gets babied and pampered and gets away with things that the older children wouldn't get away with. Let me tell you, that's a dangerous thing too. The main thing we're talking about is lying, but I just want you to understand that the lesson we're looking at also contains this second important lesson. You better be careful about the way we treat our children. In Genesis chapter 37, Jacob is an older man. He has 12 sons. Joseph, you remember how all the sons of Jacob hated one son. Which one son did they hate? Joseph. Why did they hate Joseph? They hated Joseph because he was Jacob's favorite son. Just like Jacob. Do you think, brethren, do you think that children learn from their parents? You think that Jacob probably showed preferential treatment to Joseph because his daddy and mama had been showing preferential treatment. What I'm saying is, there's no excuse. It doesn't matter whether your parents showed preferential treatment or not. You better not show preferential treatment. Jacob did not learn a lesson from his mom and daddy's mistakes, and Jacob showed preferential treatment to Joseph, and that caused animosity and hatred from all the other children toward Joseph. And so they took Joseph, and they put him in a pit, and they intended to kill him. And then, thanks to the grace of God and the intervening hand of God and him touching the heart of one of the brothers, Joseph was not killed. But you remember, they sold him, and then they took that coat. You know, he had a coat better than anybody else. He had that coat of many colors, and they took goat's blood. Remember the goats back there in Genesis 27? They took the blood of goats, and they put it all over that coat of many colors, and they carried that coat to Jacob, their daddy. And here's what happens now. Verse 31, in Genesis 37, verse 31, the Scripture says, "And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, 'This we have found.'" What is that? What is that right there? A lie. Had they found that coat? No, they hadn't found the coat. Have you ever said something like that and then tried to justify you were lying? I found this. Well, could they have stretched things in all kinds of ways and said, "I'm not really lying. I did find it. It was on Joseph's back, but I found it." Listen, God knows what's going on in your heart. I meant to give you a definition of lying. I didn't do that. I want to give you a definition of lying. Lying, listen carefully. A lie is utterance by speech or action of that which is false with intent to mislead or deceive. Let me tell you one more time, the definition of a lie is an utterance by speech or action of that which is false with intent to mislead or deceive. Anytime that you mislead or deceive someone, you're lying. We're lying anytime that we misrepresent something. And it's a serious matter. Verse 31, we're in Genesis 37, verse 31, "And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid. And they said, 'We found this coat.'" Verse 32, "Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." In other words, they're saying, "Is this your son's coat? Is this Joseph's coat?" They're acting like, "We don't know whose coat this is. Is this Joseph's coat?" Verse 33 says, "And he knew it and said, 'It is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him.'" Now, why did he think that? Jacob thought that because his sons had made it look like that's what had happened. And it was all a part of deceit and lying. "An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob, oh, poor Jacob." Do you feel sorry for Jacob right here? How many of you feel sorry for Jacob right here? I do. I feel sorry for him. I'll tell you, brethren, this man went through some hell in his life. For the next 20 years, you know what he did? He mourned. He grieved. He didn't just say, "Well, Joseph's gone. I'll love Benjamin and I'll love all these other sons." He didn't do that. All he did for the next 20 years was he cried and wept and mourned. He mourned and cried and wept for Joseph because Joseph was dead. He wasn't really dead, but did he go through the hell just as if he had been dead? Listen, verse 34 says, "And Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned for his son many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him. But he refused to be comforted. And he said, 'For I will go down into the grave unto my son mourning.' Thus his father wept for him." You see, what caused Jacob to have to go through what he went through in his life? What caused this? Yes, whose lies? It was his own lies. What was he doing? He was reaping what he had sown. You know what all of us need to do? We need to all think about how have we lied. And we need to pray, God, help me to go back and correct those lies. Help me to repent. Help me to confess my sin. And help me to go back and try to correct any lie that we've told. If you've deceived anybody, if you've lied, if you've said something that was false, I beg you in the name of Christ, before God's judgment comes on you, to go back and correct that lie. You can't really correct it, but you can confess that you lied and you can repent before God's judgment comes on you. You'll still suffer, but it won't be as bad as if God just has to bring His judgment in your life. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter 21 just a minute. Now, I'm not going to go through and define and describe everything in Revelation 21 and 22. Some of you know what it is and some of you don't. That's not really as important as understanding that in Revelation chapter 21 there is a holy city that is mentioned, and there are those who are in the holy city and are able to enter that holy city, and then there are those outside this holy city. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Revelation chapter 21, there's one thing mentioned repeatedly in Revelation chapters 21 and 22. What do you think the one sin is that's mentioned more than anything else in Revelation chapters 21 and 22? Is it adultery? Is adultery mentioned? Yes, adultery is mentioned. Is idolatry? Yes, idolatry is mentioned. But guess what's the one sin that's mentioned more than anything else in Revelation 21 and 22? It's the sin of lying. Revelation chapter 21, verse 7. The Word of God says, "He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers." Now, you don't want to be in that group, do you? Murderers and whoremongers. Just listen to the list. "Murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." What does this tell us will happen to all liars and whoremongers and other things that is mentioned there? That they will have their part in the lake of fire, the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And he talks about this city 10 times in chapters 21 and 22. They're outside, they're shut out of the city. Come down to verse 27, Revelation 21. Verse 27, Revelation 21, verse 27, he says, "And there shall in no wise enter into it," that is into this holy city, "there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination, or maketh a lie." What's the seriousness of making a lie? Well, according to the 8th verse, what's he say will happen? You'll be in the what? The lake of fire. According to 21:27, you will not enter into what? The city. Let's just say the city right here. You will not enter into this holy city if you're a liar. There will be no liars there, those that make a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Come down to verses 14 and 15 of the next chapter. We'll close right here. Revelation chapter 22, verses 14 and 15. The Word of God says, "Blessed are they that do His commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without," that is outside this holy city, "without are dogs." That word dog means a male prostitute. This isn't a four-legged animal. It's a male prostitute. He says, "For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie." Is lying serious? Lying is very serious. Very, very serious. You will not be in the presence of God if you continue to lie. The Word of God says, listen carefully, the Word of God says that David prayed this prayer. In Psalm 19, verse 14, David said, "Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. I hope that all of us realize that we need to be more careful about the things we say. That we need to pray that God will help us to never, never lie. To speak the truth and lie not. To put away lying. To have our loins girt about with truth is my prayer for Christ's sake.